This is God's Word coming to you from Christ Family Ministry, the best place to be where love is king. It's one gospel, one faith, reaching one person at a time, and together we're filling the earth with the beautiful message of our Lord Jesus Christ, presenting every man mature in Him.
Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you because you are here with us. Breathe upon your word this morning. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to understand. Lord, I'm yielded to you this morning. And thank you because you take these words and minister it to our hearts. Thank you because our hearts will be open, our ears will hear, and there will be miracles. Your word says if we can see and we can hear, then we will be turned and we will be changed. So we receive change this morning. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Some years ago, the Lord spoke to me, and we're going to start our second church then in a place called Gboku. A lot of you have been there, amen. And a lot of you are from there. And while I was praying, God spoke to me and He said, Arame, I'm sending you to the forgotten sons of the house of Jesse. And that was particularly interesting because I had read the story of David again and again and again and again. But that day was just unique. It was in my prayer closet, and God said, I'm sending you to the forgotten sons of the house of Jesse. Now, that was the first time it became clear to me that David was forgotten. So I went back to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16 and I began to read how God spoke to the prophet to go to the house of Jesse and anoint for him a king. Now, prior to this time, the Bible tells us that God had anointed for himself a king in the person of Saul, because the children of Israel were asking, God, give us a what? Give us a king who will lead us into battle like all the other nations of the earth. Prior to this time, Israel did not have a monarchy. They were directed by prophets. But they wanted a king. Amen. Now, I'm going to go into why they didn't have a king for that long. Because it takes 14 generations for God to transit into a new era. And after the sins of the sons of Levi, God was waiting for that 14th generation. Because if those of you are Bible students, take your Bible, you read, you discover that all the things that led to the birth of Jesus were happening in 14 generations. And David was supposed to have been the 14th generation. But in the 13th generation, they began to cry. Now that's the danger of crying and disturbing God for something before time. Listen to me. If you're pregnant with a baby and you want that baby born earlier than 9 months, are you with me? Then be ready to do what? Be ready to go the extra mile in helping to cater for that baby. So sometimes, cater for that baby, that fragile life. That's why sometimes it's just good to allow God to have His perfect work in your life. Are you with me? And this is what I want to say. When God is dealing with you and God is working in your life, a lot of things will not make sense. But He has it all weaved together into one big master plan. So the children of Israel began to ask for a king. Give us a king. And God gave them Saul. Scripture tells us that Saul was a king that had multiple issues. He had issues with personality. He went into idolatry. And he was not the king after God's own heart. But after that 14th year, After that 13th generation, God said, now I'm ready to give you a king. So he said to Samuel, take your vial of oil and go to the house of Jesse. What a place. He says, for I have chosen for myself a king. The Bible says Samuel began to cry. Began to weep on behalf of Saul. Can I preach a little? Sometimes if certain things are passing, just let them pass. Are you me? There's no point crying. Listen, certain things we pass through will make us cry. Cry and wipe your eyes. But stop holding on to what God wants you to let go of. Are you listening to me? Because we could be like that sometimes. How many of you get what I'm saying? Like I was telling you on Wednesday. Sometimes if a brook dries, it doesn't mean you have sinned. It just simply means it's time to leave that place. God's been dealing with you about a particular job. Leave that job, but you're holding on tight to that job. You get what I'm saying? And you're saying, no, this job is a job, man. This is a job. This is where my life is. You know, our narrow-mindedness can stop us from seeing God's big picture. And I can assure you that some prayers don't get answered. Somebody say, why? They are necessary for the next level. God needs to pluck you out of that place and bring you to the next place he wants you to be. Maybe you are hanging on to a high maintenance relationship. I don't even know what I call high maintenance relationship. A relationship where you're suffering, you're struggling. You don't know what I get out of it, but you just, amen, it just has to work. And you are saying, God, do something about it. And God said, look, run. Leave. It could be a business associate. Can I pause and say something? Separation does not mean strife. When the headsmen of Abraham and the headsmen of Lot began to quarrel, you know what Abraham said to Lot? I maybe I've listened to the series, Closing the Doors, Strife and Bitterness. He just walked straight to him and said, look, there's no need for us to strive. We are what? Brothers. We'll be brothers. Go to the left. The land is before you. Choose where you want to go. So like I always say jokingly, Abraham was the first person that said, speaking pidgin. We'll be brothers. Let's not fight. And they separated. But I mean, it was not with strife. It was a necessary arrangement for the time to see God's purpose fulfilled in their lives. Number one, God did not ask Lot to follow Abraham. God told Abraham to leave everything, but he carried Lot. So some of the issues we find in our lives sometimes are the extra things we carry that God did not ask you to carry. The extra baggages, the extra things you just add. And no, God in his mercy will just allow you to be walking around with your excesses. But at some point in time, you need to drop them. Are you me? At some point, you just need to drop those things because they are not necessary for where you are going. So, scripture tells us that Saul, Samuel kept praying. I'm sure he prayed through the night. I know every time I read that scripture, I'm like, why was Samuel taking so much time praying for Saul? Probably, this is his anointed child. He's the one that anointed Saul. Saul has the charisma, has the charm. The Bible says he was Mr. Israel. He was the tallest man in the country. He was a foot above every person. Amen. I know there are tall guys there, but I don't think there are many people taller than me here. So I could be like Saul. Praise the Lord. Ben, you think you're taller than me? So physically, this is the ideal man, but God said, no, I've rejected him. So he said, go to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. He says, because, notice, I have provided myself a king among his sons. Scripture tells us that Samuel, God his vial of oil, came into Jesse's house. And hear me, this was a secret ceremony. Why? You don't ordain another king when there's another king on the throne. He said, see, obeying God will cost you something. Obeying God costs you things. You know, some people feel that obedience doesn't cost something. Obedience costs something. So he said, God, how am I going to do it? God said, when you go, just in case it's noised that you are going to anoint another king, go to the house there and tell them you want to perform a sacrifice. And as you are performing that sacrifice, do what I've asked you to do. So he comes into the house of Jesse and says, I'm here to perform a sacrifice. And scripture tells us, are we together? That as he's there performing the sacrifice, he says, bring your sons. And he held the Urim and Thurim. Now the Urim and Thurim are equipment for discerning God's will. Because the prophets will hold them. Are you getting me? If it's the will of God, they will begin to shine. The same way when the will of God lights up in your heart, it's like light has come to you. So the Bible tells us that all the sons of Jesse were made to pass. And the first was Eliab. He was a soldier. The Bible says, when Eliab came and stood in front of Samuel, you know what Samuel said? Surely, the Lord's anointed is before me. God said, keep quiet. That's how you missed it with Saul. He said to him, look, I don't look on outward what? Appearance. I want you to know something. I don't look at outward appearance. There's something I'm looking at. I'm looking at the hearts of people. The guy has the build for a king. Maybe he looks like one that can talk. But there's somebody I'm looking for. And I've already chosen that person. Glory to God. And when all the sons passed, this is the part that God opened my eyes to see. Why do you always say these forgotten sons of Jesse? I say, how can they ask you to bring all your sons? And you will forget one. Considering the fact that there are not too many. If there are 30 sons, you say, I lost count. Well, how can you have 7, 8 sons? They say, bring your sons. You say, I can't remember. I have only 2. I know them. Some of you are planning to have 8. Are you me? But there is no way you will have a particular number of sons and you will not know them. So as we begin to read the book of Psalms, we now discover that in the meditations of David, David said, in iniquity, my mother did what? Conceived me. I was born in iniquity. In the Jewish culture, when someone says I was born in iniquity, what it actually means, I was born out of wedlock. It's more or less like saying I'm an outcast. So when they ask for sons to be presented, you don't present an outcast. You don't present an outcast. How many of you remember Jephthah? The Bible says they asked Jephthah, your mother was a prostitute that her father met. You have no inheritance in this thing, out of this place, because you were conceived in iniquity. So I believe that Jesse, probably in one of his business trips, had a fling with David's mother and had David. And let me even shock you, the name David actually means a love child. Amen. And you know what a love child means. So they say, are these all your sons? He said, I'm sure he said in his mind, if God did not find one here, then I'm sure you are in the wrong house. I bring you good news. People will mistake where you are right now, judge you by it, and fail to understand that it is you that God has his eyes upon. Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him. Send and bring him. For we will not sit down till he comes. Can I prophesy a bit this morning? What belongs to you? The Bible says, where a tree falls, there it will lie. What belongs to you? People will keep standing until you come. Others will pass who are seemingly qualified, but the grace of God will preserve your portion. And nobody will have any rest until you come into that place. And when you come into that place, are you getting me? Everybody will bear witness. It was meant for you. I've been sensing a strong prophetic anointing upon me since yesterday. And I know God is shifting things in people's lives.
Amen.
This is not even the message planned for today. As I sat there, the Spirit of God began to speak to me about what he told me. You will receive things not meant for you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. They will say, I know we're preparing this for this person, but I'll come back to this story and then I'll say what God wants me to say. Some years ago, let me tell you how I got my second car. How many of you want to know the story? I got a second car. You know, I was in faith for a car, and I had this American missionary who was administered in our church. Maybe some of you know him. And she sent for me. She said, Pastor Remy, I'd like to see you. Of course, we used to have time. She'll send for me. We'll pray together. She was an... When I say we used to pray together, she's not a young girl I was praying with. Amen. She was as old as my grandmother. Praise God. So she will come and she will always say, son, can we pray together? Can we... And I will pray and she will prophesy about some of the things that I'm doing now. Then... And one of those is, I thought it was a regular prayer. Let's pray together. Let's have a 1 hour prayer, 2 hours prayer. Because that woman could pray. And when I came, you know, I just sat down. She said, you know, I'll be leaving for the U.S. next month. I said, yeah. I said, and I'm not coming back. I said, why? She said, my work here is done. And God has asked me to go. And he said, but there is this. She had just bought a car that she had used for like 5 months. Say, but in prayer 2 days ago, the Lord specifically spoke to me to give you the car. He said, but I don't know if you need it. In my mind, I said, who don't need the car? I said, I need the car. I need it. She said, this is why it's difficult. There is a guy that served her for the 4 years she was in Nigeria. And that was the car the guy learned how to drive with. And everybody, even me, believed the car was going to fall to the guy. And the guy was a faithful person. And she told me that, I know it's going to be difficult for this guy, but I have to yield to God. She said, but there is something I know God wants to do in his life. But I don't know. It's not this car. It's not the house either. So I felt to let you know that. And the guy was, thank God he was mature enough. We drove her to the airport, and the car was my own. And I drove the guy back and dropped him in his house. Amen. You must learn to receive what God gives you without any... I didn't offend him. It's not. I didn't talk to God. I mean, I want the car. Are you with me? So I didn't steal it. But what I want you to know is that they stood for David. He was the youngest. So it has nothing to do with your qualification. When I say it has nothing to do with your qualification, I'm not saying you didn't go to school or anything. It means that it was not prepared for you. They were not thinking about you. But they will wait till you come.
Yeah.
Someone say, why are you so confident? Because God has his eyes on you. So he says, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So the Bible says in verse 12, quickly, let's go. The Bible says, so he sent and brought him in. Now, this is the part that got me really laughing. Give me the message translation. The Bible says, when David came in, he was brought in the very picture of health, bright eyes, good looking. God said, up on your feet. Anoint him. This is the one. King James says, I think New King James says he was ruddy in appearance. If you check that word, ruddy, it means a boy with very bright eyes, rough hair. It means the way the guy looked weird. And I can identify with where David was coming from. He was a musician and a shepherd. What a combination. You know, people who do music don't know what to do with themselves. Sometimes they want to keep long hair. Other times they want to plait the hair. Other times they want to cut it. Other times they want to paint it. Men of art are like that. He had this long, his hair was permed, it was long. I was shocked when they called his name Ami. I said, so you're a Nigerian. So imagine that kind of person walks into a place and God says, Pastor Rome, get up. Anoint him. He is the one. You must really hear God to obey God and anoint such a person. Let me say this. Never look down on people because of what they go through. Never judge people because of what they are going through. Sometimes what you are judging them for is not their end, it's the process. Because the way God works is that he has a way of incubating darkness, then releasing us into light. That's why when God gives an idea or a seed, he will take it and plant it in a woman. It's incubated in darkness. Nobody knows what's doing what. What's going on there? You can see movements. You can see shakings. But you can't tell what's happening there. And I came here to explain something to someone this morning. Are you with me? As I sat there, God said, there are many people here. You can't even understand why up to now you don't have a job. You can't understand why you've not been able to hit that contract. You can't understand why you helped some people. They forgot you. Listen to me. It is not your end. It is not your destination. It is the process into the bigger things that God is talking about. Sometimes you can't understand why your brothers will sell you for just telling your dream. And this was happening to David. The Bible says David was at the back. He was not even qualified to be enlisted into the army. And God said, this is the one. Anoint him. Turn and tell your neighbor, you are the one. And the anointing has come upon you. So as we talk about our home cell groups, I want you to understand something. It is God picking people who it looks like nothing will ever happen in their lives. That's why in this church, there are certain things that define our values. There are certain things that define the way we operate and why we do the things that we do is because long time ago God told us that people parading the streets, everyday normal people, but there's an anointing upon them, there's a call of God upon their lives for a specific purpose. That's why I don't give up on people. That is why I believe in people. That's why I believe that God has great plans for every single person. And you are that person I believe in. One of the reasons, you know, our sister Doshai wrote something on Facebook, and, you know, I took it to be her mission statement, and I said, look, that day I just said, wow. She said, look, her call in life is, I might not quote it verbatim, but she said, her call in life is to help you never to give up. And I said, God, this is what you have asked me to do. The forgotten sons of the house of Jesse are kings. They are kings. Listen to me. They are kings who are playing flutes right now. Kings who are probably leading sheep right now. Kings who are probably being paid salaries. But listen, the hand of God is upon you. And what I'm saying is that we are here as a church to make sure that that thing that God has put in your life, everything comes to pass, that you don't fall short of one thing that God has said concerning you. Because it's possible to live a happy and a successful life. Yeah. You know, sometimes people say, Kai, the devil is on my case. Have you heard people say that? The devil is on my case. It's not today he has been troubling me. What you fail to realize is that God is more dogged. If God is on your case, I'm telling you the truth, you can't outrun him. God is more dogged than Satan. Oh, I've heard some people say, Kai, it's not today the devil has been troubling me. It's not today he has been chasing me. Look at what he did. Listen to me. God is much more dogged than the devil. When God is on your case, you might think he has let go. But listen, he's working something out. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says God. They are thoughts of good and not of evil. To give to you a what? A hope, a future, and an expected end. Sam, that one he's talking about. In the book of Exodus, when God told the children of Israel, he was teaching them how to raise an altar. And he said, look, anytime you want to raise an altar, he spoke to them in very clear terms. He said, don't raise those altars with blocks. That's why the Bible says, can we read that scripture, 1 Peter 2? Amen. 1 Peter 2, 8. Go to verse 9. He says, but you, thank you. Who said me? Put yourself there. He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're talking about tribes. His own special people. I'm special. Tell somebody, I'm special. You're special too. But I'm special. He says, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of where? Out of darkness into his marvelous light. Light has come for you. Out of sickness into divine health. Out of lack into abundance. Out of that place of nothing happening in your life to suddenly everything is working together for you. And scripture says, it's because you are what? A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. How do you see yourself right now? Are you allowing the situation to define you, or are you allowing God's word to define you? How many of you read my post during the week about being a righteous tree? Let me tell you. Do you know how money comes? It's by first of all knowing that you are a money generator. Jesus said, a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. You know that. A mango cannot produce oranges. For a mango to produce orange, then you need a miracle of changing the nature of that mango to what? To oranges. So Jesus said, you being evil, you brood of vipers, being evil, how can you bear good fruits? So it just dawned on me. A poor man cannot produce rich fruits. It takes a rich man to produce rich fruits. So what Jesus said there is that what? Make the tree good. So what happened to you in salvation? Thank you. I get it. The tree has been made good. So I'm a good tree.
I'm a productive tree.
So it says, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Amen. Go to the next verse. Verse 10. Who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Glory to God. Say, so I've obtained mercy. I'm a royal priesthood. I've been called forth out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now I'm back up to verse 4. Let me tell you who God calls a royal priesthood. He says, back up to verse 4, 1 Peter 2. Coming to him as to a what? A living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. How many of you see the pattern there? Rejected, chosen by God. You also, as living stones, are being built up what? A spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Who makes up this priesthood? Thank you, living stones. In the Old Testament, just follow, as God tells them to build an altar to him, he says to them, don't use blocks, use what? Stones. In the New Testament, he calls us what? Living stones. You know the thing about stones? Stones don't have the same what? They don't have the same shape. Stones are cut out in different ways. Stones are heat and they come in different shapes, in different sizes. But guess what? The Bible says you can take those stones in their different cuts and arrange them to form an altar. That means all of us seated here, we don't have the same experiences. Some of you have very wonderful experiences. Some of you have, how many of you know some of you seated here had the opportunity to go to the best of schools? Why not thank God for that? It's not something to be sorry about. Some of you were born into wonderful homes. It's nothing to be sorry about. Some could go to schools, but they came from broken homes. And listen, some of you did not even have opportunity to go to schools you wanted to go to. And here, some of us are coming from different backgrounds in terms of character and experiences that we've had. For some of you sitting there, the only hard time you've had in your life is that your AC was not working. And that when the AC went bad, your father didn't change it on time. So when people are talking about difficult times, you know, you're saying, yeah, I know what you mean. One time we traveled and there was no AC in the house where we went to stay. And some of you have been through horrible things. You've been through drugs. You've struggled with addictions that nobody knows. And it's from there that God plucked all of us out. And he brought us. Some of you watched houses where you were, where parents were constantly what? Abused. It's from different places God brought us. But it is us he's building into a lively house. And God told the children of Israel, never bring blocks to build an altar. Use stones. Then guess the. He said, but the sacrifice that must be on those stones must be a perfect sacrifice. So the stones that make up the altar are not perfect. But I bring you good news. Amen. The sacrifice upon that altar is a perfect sacrifice. And what God looks at is not the altar. What God looks upon is the what? Is a sacrifice. Is the sacrifice that makes the altar acceptable. Is the altar that makes the sacrifice. Is the sacrifice that makes the altar acceptable to God. So when God looks down, he doesn't look at the what? He doesn't look at the broken stones. As a matter of fact, when he looks at the broken stones, he's happy. Because there is a perfect what? Sacrifice upon it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Message translation, Hebrews 10, 12. He says, but this man, referring to Jesus, as a priest, Christ made a single sacrifice for sins. And that was it. Then he sat down right beside God. Verse 13 says, and waited for his enemies to cave in. Verse 14 says, it was what? A perfect sacrifice by a perfect person. To do what? To perfect some very imperfect people. Who are the imperfect people? The lively stones. Listen to me. Your imperfections cannot stop what God is doing in this house. Amen. No. When God gets people, this is why church is important. It's a bunch of what? of different people, different experiences, lively what? Stones, battered, hit by different places. But in Christ Jesus, those of us who were once far off, he has done what? He has brought us close and he has put a sacrifice upon us. And every time he looks upon that sacrifice, are you with me? The altar is accepted. That is what Christ Family Center is all about. We are a bunch of people whom have come from our different experiences, but we have one perfect sacrifice. That's why we say that, look, we are a tribe. We are a race. We are a unique people. We are not perfect people, but we are people with a perfect what? Sacrifice. Because the Bible says he brought a perfect sacrifice to perfect some very imperfect people. I bring you good news. I am a perfect candidate for every good thing that God wants to do. That's why the testimonies you constantly hear in this place are testimonies of grace. That God can take a man, regardless of his background, and you may anoint him and make him a captain over his inheritance. God is anointing you captain over his inheritance. He wants you to be here. A stone detached from the altar is not part of the altar. So the church, when you look at the church, it is God's master plan to accept a people and transform their lives. I will build my church, he said, and what? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. What do you use to build houses? Okay. Modern day, we use blocks. In Jesus' days, what did they use in building houses? You use stones. You quarry stones. That means there's something God is building here in CFC. Who are the stones? Thank you. And he's not done building yet. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18. So I don't want you to say, maybe this is the end of me. This is not the end of you. The world is yet to see your best.
Amen.
I didn't hear you receive it. I am not surprised at the testimonies we're hearing. That's why when that sister met me yesterday, I said, Pastor, look at what God did for me. Look at what God did for me. Look at what God did for me. And I'm not even very holy. I said, no, the holiest thing you can do is to believe that Jesus is God's perfect sacrifice for you. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. So the church is built on a stone. Jesus is the chief what? Cornerstone. He says, and the gates of hell shall not do what? Prevail against it. So can I ask a question? Is Jesus done building? Is he done building? No. He's still building. So he's bringing another stone. We are all lively stones built together to form the house of the Lord. Guess what? There are other stones that he's bringing. There are other forgotten people. Some are in your offices, some are by the roadside. Are you me? God is bringing them into this house. And he's trusting you to bring those stones and share the love of Christ with them and get them plucked into this house so that what he wants to do in their lives will be done. So we are a good work in progress. Paul said, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to do what? To complete it, even to the day of his coming. Say, I'm that good work. Say, I'm that good work in progress. So as you connect, you notice that things begin to happen. I was thinking yesterday, I said, the word tribe, what does it mean? I was thinking about today's service. And I said, tribe. I mean, we all know tribe is a group of people with a language, culture. You know your definitions. And I said, God, what is the Bible definition of tribe? Can I show you something I saw? The first place the word tribe appears in the scriptures in the book of Exodus. Let's go there. Amen. And I want to bring out the truth, the specific truth, and then I'll be in a roundup. Exodus chapter 6, verse 13. So we are a force. Amen. You know what Pastor Dio did this morning was very prophetic. When he said we should take our candles and we should light it. I'm sure some of you are saying, what is happening here? Please, I hope you will not take pictures and post on Facebook. You know, last Sunday, Pastor Gio told me that God put it in his heart that we should have a candlelight ceremony during today's service. I said, okay, good, we'll have it. He said, so I want to announce that everybody should bring their candle. I said, no. I said, we'll give them the candle. He said, well, I said, I don't want trouble. Before someone said, that church, they said everybody should bring. I'm not going there again. So I said, bring the candle and give them. Do what God has asked you to do. Are you with me? Then we collect our candle back. So make sure as you are going out, you are dropping the candle. Don't idolize it and say, holy candle. Don't take the candle and go and put it in your house and light it and say, as I burn this candle, so my future burns. As I burn this candle, so my future burns. As you are coming next Sunday again, you'll be bringing another candle. Say, Pastor, I have another candle. That other one is finished. Please, don't make an idol of the candle. It was a prophetic instruction for the moment. I bring you good news. The moment has passed. You know, Nigerians are very, very superstitious, yeah. You know, someone can take that candle and say, Pastor, guess what? I've been burning my own candle morning, afternoon, and evening. So I burnt it this morning, things cooling. Amen. I put it off. I burnt it for like 3 minutes this afternoon. My future. As it's coming next Sunday, he was ringing and I said, what is the candle for? He said, no, that last candle has finished. So I just want you to know that the instruction was for the moment. And God is saying to us through what Pastor Dio did is, listen, we might have our jagged edges, we might have our excesses, but we'll have a perfect sacrifice who has given us light. Take that light wherever you go. Take that light wherever you go. Now, what does it mean to be a tribe? Why is it important to belong to a tribe? This is the first question that came to my mind. One man had 12 sons. God spoke to his grandfather that he was going to make him a great nation. So, I began to wonder. From the 12 sons, instead of calling them 12 sons, they are called 12 tribes. So I asked, are they multilingual in Israel? I discovered that tribes go beyond what? Goes beyond language. Tribes speak of identity. Please, I want you to follow as I round up my message. Tribes speak of what? Identity. They are like tattoos. They are like stamps. Tribes are authorities. In the realm of the spirit, God knows different churches. That's why when he was writing letters in the book of Revelation, he would say to the church in Sardis, write. To the church in Pamphylia, write. To the church in Philadelphia, write. That means for each church, he knew who was in those churches. Can I say something to someone? God knows your church. And he knows those who don't have a church. How many of you know some Christians belong to Universal Church? The Universal Church of they say church is in the mind. Church is where? It's inside mind. Until they want to get married and they don't go into their mind. Then when somebody is sick, they wonder why their mind did not visit them. Attending church does not mean God knows you are a member of a church. God knew the people that were in the church in Philadelphia. He gave them instruction. He knew the church that was inside. He said, write to them. That means in these churches, different things were happening. Listen, there are many good churches in Abuja that if I'm not pastoring, I'll be attending. But listen, they have a particular mandate, a particular instruction. They are a tribe. We are of one nation, but we are different tribes. CFC is a tribe. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is something that God has asked us to do that only us can do it the way He wants us to do it. And when God is speaking, He's speaking to the people who are connected to that church. Because the Bible says, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, and God gave them a command for the children of Israel and for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. See this now. Verse 14. These are the heads of their father's houses. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, were Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Cami. These are what? The families of whom? The families of Reuben. Amen. Now that word head there is what I want you to see. The word translated head there means authority. It means, literally means a staff. Praise God. Let me submit to you. The authority by which God does anything in the lives of people is in the places He has positioned them. If you understand what I just said, say amen. If you don't understand, let me repeat it. I'll say it in a way you get it. If you have ever heard the name Dothan, Abiram, and Koran, let me say hello. Oh, that means you study the Bible. You know their story, Dothan, Abiram, and Korah. Some of you are saying, who are they? Are those nicknames? Now, Dothan, Abiram, and Korah were people who were criticizing Moses. And they said, Moses, not only you, God, they talk through. God said, okay, today you will know who God speaks to. Everybody should go and bring a rod. I remember that story. Now notice, he said everybody should remain in their camp. God will answer. How did God answer? The camp where the families were, the ground did what? Open and swallow them. I call that selective swallowing. That means He didn't swallow everybody. Listen now. The Bible says He swallowed their families. Praise God. That means anyone connected to Dothan, when it was time for swallowing, went down. Because God knows the people that are of Dothan. So when God uses families, that's why it's like blessings in families are transgenerational. Because once somebody is plucked into a tribe or a family, are you me? It becomes an authority. So when God is pouring something, He's pouring it through that channel. That is why, when you find yourself in a particular church, you might not even be praying like others, but you'll be seeing certain things happen in your life. You know why it's happening? The blessings are collective. When God is dropping seasons, and dropping words, and dropping breakthroughs, and dropping institutions, see, He doesn't just drop it on a man. He says, to the house of CFC. And guess what happens to some people? They just walk in. And as they walk in, certain things begin to happen. A sister was sharing with me about a particular brother, he's even looking at me, who was testifying of how he doesn't even need his salary. I said, you see? You know what that means? When you don't need your salary, God has used Garrett. Amen. Before salary was not enough, then all of a sudden, he doesn't need his salary. And he said, you know, ever since I started coming to CFC, all those testimonies of ever since I started is telling you that churches and houses, are you me, anointings and callings are what? Are authorities through which God reaches His people. That's why no Christian can truly be effective without a church. How did Mary birth Jesus? Because she was betrothed to who? Joseph. She was not in the plan. See, if you stay in this house, certain things happen to you. The same grace that we experience in this house becomes your experience. And I'm going to pray for you shortly. Some of you are lifted from obscurity. Just by identifying with this house, get ready. You will conceive mighty things.
Amen.
And you will birth them supernaturally.
Amen.
That's why when you begin to see a particular thing happen in a church, it begins to reflect in the lives of the people. You know, it's common for people to share testimonies of healing, here, testimonies of prosperity. Grace of God that is at work. That's why Paul could say to everyone that was connected to him and all the churches, my God will supply all your needs. Philippians 1, 6 and 7. Say amen.
Amen.
You know, nobody remains barren in this church. Nobody. Nobody. Even cases that they say, look, this is nobody. One of our pastors had an aunt that was not, you know, that they have a child for 24 years. Yeah, 24 years. They had been married, no child. In one of our services, he woke up and he said, Pastor, there's a tangible anointing upon your life for opening wombs. He said, pray for me. Lay your hands upon me and upon this handkerchief. Amen. He said, I want to stand in agreement. Because when I asked women who were believing God for children to come out, he came out. So I was wondering, you are not married, you are not a woman. So I held hands and I laid hands upon him. He said, when I laid hands upon him, then there were no phones. He traveled. I went and told the aunt, this month you are having a baby. He said, well, I said, because I have connected you to our church. That year she got pregnant and had a baby. Someone say why? It's an authority. It's a house. It's not a struggle. Look at what Paul said to the Philippians. Being confident of this one thing, that he who began a good work in you, that's the whole church. He says will complete it, amen, until the day of Jesus Christ. Look at what he now says next in verse 7. Just as it is right for me to think of this, of how many of you? Can I tell you what Paul was saying? You know, so you read the Bible with King James, so it's hard to understand. Paul said, look, all of you, none of you will fail. He said, none of you will fail. And he said, it is right for me to think about you like this, because I have you where? In my heart. Inasmuch as both in my chains and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. Lift your right hand up. As a partaker of the grace of God upon this house, standing in the confirmation and defense of the gospel that we preach, I decree and I declare in the name of Jesus, for standing here today and for sitting here this morning, I declare that the grace of God upon this house come upon you right now.
Yeah.
And command doors to open for you.
Amen.
The same way that this ministry experiences ease, no struggle, that God positions us and brings us in contact with people with no labor to know, that will become your experience after today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I decree and I declare that from today, people will be walking into your life. Your helpers of destiny will meet you. They will recognize you.
Amen.
It will not be a struggle to come in contact with them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I decree and I declare that from today, people will look upon you favorably.
Amen.
That same favor that is upon this house is upon your life.
Amen.
They will look upon you and say, they will say, you are one of them.
Amen.
Your experiences is like one of them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. People will go out of their ways to do things for you. They will go out of their ways to do God's bidding in your life. I declare that whatever you have experienced from today, you meet with hands that will lift you and take you to the next place you need to be. In the name of Jesus, I declare that you are all partakers of the grace of God upon this house. And I release you this morning into unusual, spectacular miracles.
Amen.
in the name of Jesus. Receive it now. In Jesus' name. I say there are shouts of victory. Breakthroughs everywhere. Breakthroughs everywhere. I hear in my heart again. I hear in my heart again. You will be living epistles that people will be reading. You will be the words made flesh. People will look at you and say, of a truth, God is good. They will look at you and say, of a truth, God is with you. They will take a hold of you and say, show me your God. I want to know what you know. I want to be where you are. And I want to have what you have. In the name of Jesus. None of you will die young. Your youth is renewed like that of the eagles. He's opening your mouth and he's filling it with good things. I curse every sickness and every disease. I curse anything that is called generational that is not of God. In your life, in your family, in your lineage. In the name of Jesus, I command a change now. In Jesus' mighty name. I decree and I declare, let there be a swift change. Sudden changes. Sudden changes. Let God pluck you out of the stock and make you a living testimony to your family, to your community, and to the people that you meet. In the name of Jesus. They have been asking, what have you been going there to do? What have you been going there to do? Now they'll say, we can see what you have been going there to do. We can see what you have been going there to do. In the name of Jesus. Let God raise voices to speak on your behalf. From today, in the name of Jesus. Listen, by being connected to this house, watch what is happening to you after today. Amen. There are certain things that define our value here as a church. I told you, why do we do what we do? Why do we believe in people? It's because we have opened scriptures and we have seen that our Savior was born from a lineage of prostitutes. Jesus' great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother is called Rahab the prostitute. God took time to emphasize her profession so that you don't try to look for another Rahab. One day, I sat down and said, let me dig the genealogy of Jesus. I saw things. I saw crooks. Some of you, when you want to marry, you will pay secret service to investigate the family. Is there a case of madness in that family? I want to be sure. Is there a case of... Has it ever happened to you? You want to marry someone, they say, maybe you take your fiancé to the house. While you are eating, they are smiling. They say, hey. So, you are welcome. Thank you. You say, you are from where again? Yeah, from Kogi. Is it not you people that your governor, they didn't swear in him before he died? Say, okay, that's Kogiba. Yes, it's okay. It's okay. I know one Kogi man, Shaba. Kind of man. Which part is, which part of Kogi are you from? Is it Igala? Eh? Oh, are you a Muslim or is your grandfather a Muslim? Or is my father is a Muslim? My grandfather, I don't know, but I heard he was a herbalist. you are, me, I'm born again in Christ. You know what the woman will do? They will save it in there. They are investigating archives. When you leave, they will call somebody who lives in Kogi. There is one family like that. They say he's native doctor, that the man is native doctor. The boy came here, that he wants to marry a doctor. Can you help us check? No problem, I'll do that. By your next visit, you know the answer. Do you know what I'm saying? If you are that person, you will not marry Jesus. When you start digging into Jesus' family,
the kind of people you will see, you will run away from him. One of Jesus' uncles went to sleep with his own daughter-in-law now. Though mistakenly, but if you see how he met her, he was not supposed to be there. Do you understand me? So I wonder why God will bring the Savior of the world. I will not bring him from a lineage of kings, of holy men, is to stun this world. Here, we don't care where you're coming from. We only rejoice at where you're going. Ephesians 1:15, and this is what I want to leave with us today. Show the love of God. How many of you can live here this morning and say, I'm going to show somebody God's love? Through your words, through your actions, encourage someone. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. These are people who just got born again, you know, just bubbling. Look at what Paul says in verse 16. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. No, go back to verse 16. It's verse 16 that caught my attention. And this is what I want you to start doing for your brothers. If you belong to a home cell church, let me shout over. Good. How many of you take time to pray for your cell members? Beautiful. As you pray, you say, let's say the three of them are in my cell. Father, thank you for Pastor Steele. Thank you for Pastor Dockers. Thank you for Pastor Dew. Now, I'm not talking about general prayer. I'm not saying, Father, thank you for CFC. I'm not saying, thank you for Gateway Cell. No, not general prayer. Now, listen. Here's what's about this prayer. I told you I have two more scriptures and I close. Do you know we all get excited when people get saved? A new member comes to your cell or comes to church, we're all happy. Love is king. Good to see you. How are you doing, sir? Wonderful. How long can you do that? Because it's easy to accept people when you don't know them. Sometimes, you know, to just take them at face value. What if you start interacting with them for another 2-3 weeks? And then you discover that are you going to still say, thank you for coming? Or are you going to say, so you came? Amen. Amen. How many of you can maintain that tempo? See, this is discipline. To say, I do not cease giving thanks for you. Because I'm sure over time, Paul must have seen everything about them. Yet, instead of complaining, what was he doing? He was giving thanks. You know, I have this cell member that doesn't like coming to church. Well, heaven, everybody has his own passport to heaven. If you don't come, if you don't go to heaven, me, I've already made up my mind, I'm going to go to heaven. If you like, don't come. You will go to hell. No. You know, some Christians are like that. My own salvation is secure. I'm only trying to help any other person that can follow me. That's not the attitude. You know the thing about Paul? He said, I don't cease. You will think about that one that God saved, but he's still doing tombo night. And he'll still say, Father, thank you. That cell member that comes to church gave a prophetic word. Then as you were driving through one place, you saw the guy watching football with Shine Shine Bobo. Then the guy goes, ah, snap! I better give my. And as you're standing at H Medic, you're still trying to wonder, wait, is this the guy that I. Is it not our cell member? If you have been there, put your hand down. Amen. Praise God. Someone said, why do you talk like that? I know church members. One day I saw one brother in Christ fighting. I said, wait, he said, Pastor, this is not church. Leave me to handle this guy. Let me handle this guy square. Square, leave. Pastor, leave, leave, leave. But guess what? Paul says, anytime I still think about that guy, ceaselessly, I will still lift my hands. And I will do what? I will give thanks and make mention of you in my prayer. True love prays for people. The way to truly love people is to do what? Is to pray for them. Not complain. It's not even to go and announce. Pastor. Brother Boss. Guess where I saw Brother Boss? Brother Boss is a sipper. No. He's sipping things. No. You know what true love does? The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. When after Noah came out of the ark, after that great experience, the Bible says he planted a vineyard. Of course, he extracted the wine and was drunk. His two sons, the eldest son, his name is Ham. Ham came and saw his father drunk and naked. He's a foolish son that exposes his father's nakedness. I think Popsy will be warning us. Alcohol is not good. Come and see. Went and met the brother and said, Kai, if you see Popsy, I don't dare. What did Shem and Japheth do? They carried a cloth. Not even go forward. They went backward. He said, look first now. You are too holy. He said, no. We will not behold our father's nakedness. And covered him, arranged the father. The father now got up. Daddy hangover. How did I get here? Yeah. Who covered me? I'm sure it's Shem that said, it's Ham. He said, it's Japheth and, you know, Popsy, you were just pieces yesterday. You fall hand terribly. He said, that's how you two, you'll be serving them. I don't want to go into the details. Up to today, Ham serves Shem. Somebody says, if you want to know the details, call me after. How is he serving? Finally, James chapter 5, verse 6. Trust you are blessed. Love one another. Believe in one another. That's our value. Love. James 5, 16. Oh, glory to God. Just give me. Hey, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I'm sure some of you, the moment you saw that scripture, you'll say, God, now lie. Come on. If you disagree with that, no, be honest. If you disagree with that scripture, let me see your hand up. Yeah, say, no, I will worship. What? Confess. This one sitting next to me. Hey, Lord. Ain't confessing nothing, man. Praise the Lord. This guy ain't confessing nothing. No, imagine I walk here and say, everybody, confess your faults one to another. That word fault, that word trespass there is not sin per se. He's talking about faults, mistakes, shortcomings, even sins. But you know the question? I said, how could James write to the church and say to them, confess your faults one to another? That means there was a high level of transparency, openness, and people could speak of their hurts without being hurt. The church has to come there. Where we can boldly say, look, this is what happened. And nobody will condemn you. That's what we do in this tribe. And that's where I'm believing God will come to. Where we can say, look, this is what happened. And then you are not in the fear of. Where we won't have to say, Pastor Dorcas tells me something. I say, it's okay. No, Pastor, it's okay.
Then the next moment, Pastor Steve, you see that Dorcas? Be careful. And be coming to church, but be very, very careful. Listen to me. Don't divide the body. Be an agent of peace. Painful are the words of a whoremonger. Some of you, everywhere you talk, except yourself. Are you aware? I've not told anybody. You are the first person I'm telling this thing. Then I say, no, trust me. I'll not tell anybody. And the person goes to you and say, look, this thing I'm telling you, don't tell anybody. The person says, no problem. Then he says to Tony, Tony, this thing, promise me something. Say, what? You will not tell anybody. Okay, good. Then Tony eventually comes back to Dorcas. Dorcas, promise me that you're not telling anybody. There's somebody that they were talking about the other day. The first church in the Garden of Eden was Adam and Eve. You know what defined that church? Transparency. They were naked and not ashamed. They did not use anybody's nakedness to condemn the other person. When people genuinely tell you their problem, genuinely point them to Jesus. I leave you with this today. Pray for people. If you are not there yet, don't force it. It's trust that compels transparency. So I'm not saying after this service, you say, well, thank God. Brother Tony, come. I want to confess everything to you. What I'm saying is that let's grow to that place where somebody can say, look, this is where I am. I'm drowning. I'm struggling. I am suffering. And this is what I've done. And you can say, look, are you getting me? I won't harm you with words from my mouth. Are you getting me? I love you. I will trust. Are you getting me? Then the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man has the power of transforming that situation. Let's stand up. The church is the safest place to be. This is how church is supposed to be. Recently, some of my pastors told me some things I was doing they didn't like. They were talking in the background. They didn't tell me. So one of my pastors, a bold one, and I like people like that, just said, walked up to me and said, Pastor, this is what I want to tell you. My heart is beating. Of course, she's married, so because anytime a lady is talking to me, I say her heart is beating. I say the worst thing is that I'm what? I'm pregnant. You know, because I prepare my mind. So when they say, I stole 500, I say, no, okay, no problem. Raise the bar then. So I said, what's the problem? He said, can I talk? I said, talk. He said, well, this has come to my notice and some people are not happy. This is what you are doing. And they don't like the way you are going about this. And they are talking and the talk is on the rise. You know what natural aroma did? As they were telling you, did they tell you their own too that they were doing? No, if you meet me, I can direct you to the person. I won't pretend to you. I wanted to point their own point. God, not say Arome, keep quiet. Hear what she's saying and change. So I told her, I said, well, not their own too. Let's hear what you have to say. When she was done, I told her, I said, thank you for coming to me. I said, Lord, I receive grace. No offense. Amen. I went to my pastors. I apologized to them. I told them, it will never happen again. Amen. And if I did it, I meant no harm. I didn't want to hurt anybody. Now that I know, it will not happen. And when I got to know the people that were directly involved, I called them. I said, truly, forgive me. It will not happen again. And we are better off. That's what it means to confess your word. This morning, lift those hands up to heaven. Let every strife disappear. This is the only way we can shine our light. By this shall all men know that we are his disciples. Labra tazondo libregedo santaraba. Labra katozo frigalaba. Take your neighbor's hand right now and begin to pray for that person if you can. You might not know the person's name, but begin to pray for that person. Rabando santalabra calabra kando sindaleba. And as you pray, let every heart leave you. Mangalabranto sofregedo santaraba. Rabado Sandala Bacalabra. Ingrato Sekalabranta Sandala Prantos of Figaleba. In Bracalabracatus, we got a Bacalabacalaba. Lama, pray for that person from your heart, you know. Lambranta Soto Rabacata Sandalaba. Begin to pray that the things that God has said concerning that person will come to pass. Rapato Sekalebregato Santalaba. Pray for that person from your heart. You know, if you know the person's name, you can call them. But pray for that person, that this person will stand. This person will be everything God has designed for him or her to be. Malebano Shandarabakato Shandalaba. Hallelujah. Manglepano Shapra. Pray earnestly from your heart. God will strengthen him. Mangalebrando. Say, pray for that person, that whatever that person is believing God for, the person will receive. In the name of Jesus. Embrantan Shandalaba. This is how we spread. This is how we spread. Rabba Kado Shandalaba. They might be the forgotten sons of the house of Jesse, but God has destined them for royalty. Rabba Kado Shandalaba. Pray for them. Stand with them. Stand in faith with them. Mandala Shandalaba Kalaba. Pray prosperity upon them. Pray healing upon them. Rabba Kalabrando Shandalaba Kalaba. Deliverance. Open doors on all sides. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That God will keep them from falling. Rabba Galabrino Sandalaba, En Calabrando Sandalaba, Cota Sandalaba, En Branta Sandalaba, Marapacata Ramano Sandalaba. Pray, Macalabraca, that this week will be the person's greatest week, the person's best week, in the name of Jesus. En Branda No Calaba, we will rejoice in your testimonies, we will celebrate your victories. Rabba Galabrino Sandalaba. Pray one for another. Embrando Sandalaba. The effectual, fervent, heartfelt, continuous prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working. Hallelujah. Rabba Galabano. Rabba Galaba. Rabano Sandalaba. Rabba Galabano Sandalaba. Malibano Sandalaba. Mandala Bracano Sandalaba Calaba. Lekado. If you believe you receive, go ahead and give a loud praise. Hallelujah. Glory! Somebody give a Lord a shout! Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening. Messages are absolutely free. For downloads, please visit us at www.christfamilyministries.org. That's www.christfamilyministries.org or call 090-300-00413 for info on ministry materials. It's one gospel, one faith, reaching one person at a time, and together we're filling the earth with the beautiful message of our Lord Jesus Christ, presenting every man mature in Him.